When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when we go to Japan and have the worst internet known to man. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And speaking of which, we actually, Noah, have a question from listeners. And
really?
I think I'd like to attempt to answer it with varying degrees of success, if that's okay with you.
I don't think we haven't done that in a long time, despite using the same intro every time, but I think we should do it every once in a while at least.
I think it's good to dust off the cobwebs. I don't have my jacket, by the way. I just noticed that. Dust off the cobwebs and go ahead and pull up this good old super chat here. So this is in reference to the video that I did a couple of weeks ago on the Apple Developer Transition Kit. And this person with the OS X Lion wallpaper as their profile picture. Of course, we would recognize that.
Yeah.
We already know. They are asking, did you back up the pre-release build of macOS Big Sur that came pre-installed on the DTK? The answer to that is yes. The developer transition kit, fun fact, doesn't do like signing. There's no SIP. There's no signing. There's no protections of any sort. You can sideload, frontload, backload, overload. You can do whatever you want to that thing. You can run native iOS apps. And now I know what you're thinking. You can do that with, you know, all of the stuff in the App Store, right? And no, I mean literally an iPad app. Like, you won't even be able to interact with it because it's waiting for a touchscreen. You can put anything on there.
That is very cool. That's really cool.
In fact, I really do want to find out if there's more that can be done with that, because it's a build of a Mac that is quite literally just an iPad stuck inside a Mac's butthole. And then they fiddled around and put macOS on it. There is nothing else going on there. It has, theoretically, you could take Face ID and hook it up to that thing. You could theoretically get a touchscreen hooked up to that thing. It's all in there.
That would be, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously you're not going to find, like, obviously nothing from Apple, but like even from like other people, like I don't think people really have these things lying around that they're going to be tinkering with them, but like there's got to be more you can do with them.
It's actually quite interesting given that it's a Mac with touchscreen drivers, given what we've heard, which is that by around 2025, potentially we could have touchscreen Max. Did you hear about that?
Was this a transition into another topic there? That was so smooth.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I know. I'm a little shocked.
That was like, if I hadn't brought attention to that, that would have just been completely smooth.
It would have gone completely under the radar.
But I had to give you props there.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And as is usual, you actually took my really good and seamless transition and downgraded it back to our usual caliber of transition, thus keeping us in our lane.
Yeah, we got to stay in our lane exactly like what you said there. We can't be too good here. But yes, I did hear about that. I did. I watched your recent video, and I did hear on Twitter as well. Lots of things to talk about, and I did hear about the touchscreen Macs by 2025, which I thought was very interesting. So, what do you think about that?
In all honesty, I am ambivalent. I don't really care all that much about a touchscreen on a Mac. And here's why. When I use a Windows laptop, typically I don't like the trackpads. They don't have all the gestures that I want. They aren't as smooth as I would like. The inertia, a lot of Windows touchpads are getting a lot better, right? Obviously, Apple has had really great multi-touch touchpads for 2008 is when they launched it. So it's been 15 years that they've had these things that are so good. But Windows laptops have started to catch up. The one thing that no Windows laptop can do, you can ignore all the gestures, you can ignore the size of it and the force touch and how well integrated it is with the OS. And that's a lot of stuff to ignore. But the one thing, even ignoring all of that no single Windows laptop has ever done for me is two-finger scroll as well. It's really, really simple. It's a very minimal thing. But the two-finger scrolling on a Mac is calibrated so perfectly that I don't need a touchscreen. On a Windows laptop, the two-finger scrolling is just, it's 95% on some, but it's just far off enough that I find myself wanting to just go up and touch the screen.
No, I agree. I think, obviously, Mac OS has been great with gestures, multi-touch gestures for a long time. I feel like on Windows, they're definitely getting better. Definitely like the two-finger swipe. It's like, I don't know, it's like the rubber banding isn't there. I love the rubber banding effect that you get on iOS when you scroll up to the very end and it kind of, you know, goes a little further and snaps back. And I love, I don't know, just the way that it like you release the, you like I'm doing it right now here. You release your thing and it just keeps going a little bit and it slows down gracefully, like it's following the laws of physics. And like just those like little things that just make it feel natural, or like an extension of like your, I don't know, it just feels so natural in a way that like Windows just doesn't. It's like too linear or too like, I don't know, there's just something about it that I definitely agree with you. Definitely agree.
Like I'm doing this right now because I'm looking for a story that I want to talk about in our next segment here, and I'm just scrolling through a page and there's something that's just so perfect. Like when you start the scroll and then push off, do you know what I mean? Like it's the inertial scrolling, but the way that you scroll, right? You have your two fingers and you're scrolling up and down, but there's that moment where you sort of accelerate the page and then let go and it keeps going and it's perfect. It is the most, like it is predictable, it is smooth, and it is, they must have spent hundreds of hours just tweaking these tiny little parameters in the code to get it to be that good. But it's so darn good.
Absolutely. And when you say like they spent like hundreds of hours tweaking that those bits of the code, like unironically, I'm not going to say anything, but I have seen example. I have seen an example of something like that is so incredibly subtle. And I can't really say anything, but it was like such an incredibly subtle thing that was very similar. Mm-hmm. And they were like testing like these different things and it was like barely a difference, but like it's such a subtle thing that I guarantee you they spent so much time over the years like perfecting it and testing it and tweaking it. And like, you're not over exaggerating, like 100%. It's definitely the case.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that for those reasons, I have never felt the need for a touchscreen on the Mac. However, that doesn't mean I don't want it to be there. I think it's very interesting that a lot of the commentary has been like against it. I'm not against it. I'm saying it's not an important factor for me. If it's there, it's there. I have no... I'm not going to like not buy a computer because it has an additional feature.
Mm-hmm.
If they increase the price a whole lot or like do something screwy, then maybe I would be annoyed about it. But I'm not going to avoid... I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't believe Apple would add a touchscreen. I'm just saying I don't care either way. They could add it. They could not add it. I don't think it's going to make a super huge difference unless they do something like crazy or interesting with it. But I could definitely see how some people would want that. The only thing that I have seen, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Noah, as an iPad owner,
mm-hmm.
is people think, huh, why need a touchscreen on a Mac? Doesn't that make it too similar to the iPad? Wouldn't they collide?
I think, like, I'm just trying to imagine, you know, what the touchscreen experience on a Mac would be, because, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're going to do the two-in-one where you fold it all the way over and you get just the screen, because at that point, it really is, like, too similar to an iPad, right? If you fold it all the way over, the keyboard goes away, and you just have the big screen that you're looking at, it's so similar. It's basically an iPad at that point, maybe even, like, a less usable one. Like, if you flip it over and the keyboard's facing out, like, you've seen two-in-ones like that, and that's pretty bad, or whatever.
Oh, I don't like those.
They
Apple
fold
would
it.
Never do that.
Yeah, they would never. But, like, you fold it somehow, and you just have the screen. I feel like that's too similar. But if you have it sitting in front of you like a laptop and you're reaching across, like, over the keyboard to touch things, you're not gonna be able to, like, do anything precise. Like, there's no way that you're gonna, like, if it's you know, a screen in front of you and you're going to, like, draw things on it or, like, even do gestures, there's no way you're gonna be precise enough to, like, do that kind of stuff. I feel like the sweet spot is, like, you have a Mac, you have an iPad, you use wired Sidecar, you know, plug your iPad into your Mac, use Sidecar, and then you can have, you know, the touchscreen on your iPad. Maybe Apple could improve that a bit, so instead of just mirroring your display, it actually treats it like a touchscreen. But I feel like that's the better experience, is, like, it would be macOS running on the iPad or like a Sidecar kind of thing. I think a touchscreen Mac is just... Maybe a touchscreen iMac. That's a discussion we could have. But a touchscreen laptop, I don't know. I don't know.
I see your point. A touchscreen iMac, I think, is more compelling because then artists could use that massive canvas with, like, an Apple Pencil. And you would be... That would be really interesting because Microsoft had the Surface Studio for a couple of years. They have completely abandoned that thing. I'm pretty sure you can still buy it, and it's still using 7th gen Core i7s from 2017. It's using 6-year-old tech, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And like a GTX 1060. So they completely like abandoned that, but I think that would be very successful. And there's also a couple of comments that I think are very true here. And that is sort of the rabbit hole that you start going down when you add a touchscreen. Because to your point, Noah, you're reaching over the keyboard. In my case, like sitting away from it here, I've almost, look at that. I'm like stretching my arm out completely to reach you. The buttons on like the Chrome tabs are tiny.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I'm not going to be able to hit that more precisely than with my mouse, especially with a Mac mouse and how well calibrated that is.
Mm-hmm.
So... what does that mean? Well, as this comment points out, they would probably have to redesign the UI. So obviously we already have the dock, right? The dock is good. The dock already exists and makes sense. But there are visual elements and interface elements that you would have to change. So right now, for example, I'm in a full screen window. That's something that most of us take for granted on the Mac. But if you have a touchscreen, you're going to have to implement some gestures. So I put my mouse up to the top and that pulls up the top bar. That would have to be incorporated into a touch element. Maybe you'd have to swipe down and it would stay for a couple of seconds. How long would it stay? How would it go away? Right now, I move my mouse away and it goes away. With a touch screen, it would have to stick around. Same thing with the dock. I put my mouse at the bottom, the dock swipes up. And I move my mouse, it goes away. With a touch screen, I'd have to swipe up from the bottom like an iPad. How long does it stay there for? Do I four-finger swipe to move windows? That makes sense. But then when you're on your desktop, you've got the top menu bar. All of those are pretty small. Might have to make those bigger. Make the whole menu bar bigger. Like, you see how, when you think about it, it seems simple. I just want a touch screen on a Mac. Nothing has to change. But for it to make sense and be a shippable product, you would have to reconfigure some things about macOS. And maybe at that point, it would make more sense to detach the screen or fold it over or stuff like that. And then the problem is, I've just described an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It would be like you'd have to redesign, like even down to things like the traffic lights, you know, the close, minimize, and expand buttons in the corner of every window. Yes. Those are too small. Those would have to be made bigger or redesigned, like all these system elements. And my main fear with Apple doing this is that they've already, if you look at the other ways that they've tried to make macOS more like iPadOS, they've honestly been pretty bad, especially like, I think it was Marzipan, maybe that was the code name for like running iPad apps on macOS. And those like don't behave super well. Also like Swift UI, which is cool, but then you look at like the new settings app in Ventura, which is awful. It's like the worst app to use. And the whole point was they made that app look like it does on the iPad, and it's so much worse because the Mac is different from the iPad. So if the whole system at its very core starts to adopt that same like that same idea, then I feel like the Mac experience will get worse overall, because it already has in the areas where it's moved to be more like iPad. So that's my fear here.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is indicative of a new era of tech where things aren't necessarily solvable. I feel like if you go back and you look at, especially in the context of Apple, and you go back over the past, let's start with Steve Jobs coming back, 1997. He comes back to Apple. You can kind of go through the 2000s and look at the products that came out. And as revolutionary as they are, a lot of them are really rather simple. The iMac, right? That was like, hey, why do we need to have a whole bunch of boxes? We just have one box. The iBook was like, laptop, but cheaper and fun. The iPod was like, well, music good, but simple, clean, well-built, right? Same concept, but just well-built. Then the iPhone. The iPhone, of course, being this massive revolutionary thing, but what it started out was, it's like, what if iPod, phone, and internet, all in one thing, and you just have a little screen? The MacBook Air, laptop but thin. The MacBook Pro, laptop but fast. Like, there are logical, there were visible problems, and Apple could solve them. But right now, with the Mac and the iPad, and this like sort of ambiguous, especially more so with the iPad, where people are like, it's good, but it just needs something else. But that something else that it needs isn't really clear. It isn't, there's no like, oh, well, when they finally put this on the iPad, it'll make sense. We don't have, I don't think anyone really knows what the iPad needs to make it that like extra 10% to being a phenomenal product.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I didn't think about it that way, but it makes a lot of sense. I definitely agree in terms of like when they were introducing new products, the ideas were pretty simple. And then once they introduced those products, it was pretty clear where they would go from there. Like, you take the first iPhone. The iPhone, it was very slow. It was pretty limited in terms of what it could do, in terms of, like, both the hardware and the software. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't take videos on the original iPhone. You could only use the apps that Apple had. Plus, you could use some, you know, websites, but most of them weren't mobile optimized, so on and so forth. So it was very clear for a long time, you know, all the things that the iPhone needed before it would really feel like a complete thing, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, in the past couple of years, these products are, like, so well defined and they're so feature rich that it's now, like, less clear, like you said, it's less clear about where to go from here. And, you know, in the past, we weren't thinking about merging macOS and iPadOS because those product lines had a lot of, you know, work to be done on them to get to the best versions of themselves. But now they've kind of gotten there, and Apple has you know, more time now, and they're like, okay, do we put them together? How much you put them together? These questions didn't come up before because they were busy, you know, making these products better. Now they're in a place to ask these questions, and it's definitely more ambiguous.
Absolutely. And I think, I know that this is one of those things that always sounds dated, right? Like, in 1906, the U.S. government considered closing the patent office because they thought everything had been invented. And you look back on that and you're like, wow, they were stupid. So this might be one of those types of statements. But I do genuinely think that technology at this point in time is reaching a level of ability and saturation that, apart from some, like, very, very broad things and environmental aspects, I don't think there are these, like, you know, very clear, like, oh, in 2 years when technology can do this, that's what we need. Like, to your point with the iPhone, when the iPhone 2G came out, people were like, oh, well, I would like them to add video. I would like them to add a front-facing camera. I want a bigger screen. I want a thinner device. I want more battery life. I want a higher resolution. That, I just took us through the first 7 years of the iPhone, right? And they added all of those things. And then when you look in the last couple of years, we don't really have those things. We're not at a point now where we're like, oh, this is the next thing that people want their technology to have. And so now we're in this thing where people are kind of like seeing what sticks. Like, hey, what if we add more cameras? Do you like that? What if we make it fold up? We can make it fold sideways. We can make it fold up. Like, does that something? Is that a tech? And, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it seems like there's not a clear direction for, like, this is the next feature. This is what comes after that. This is what comes after that, that we've had for the past 20, 30, 50 years with computers.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, the thing you said before about how maybe this is, like, one of those statements that's going to age poorly about things, you know, everything's been invented, whatever. I think, you know, there's more work to be done, but as far as, like, the existing product lines that we have, like the cell phone and the computer, mm-hmm. the laptop, the desktop, I feel like those, you know, they've been around for a long time. They've gone through a lot. They're in a really good place right now. I think the place where you can really, like, you know, do a lot of this innovation and a lot of this stuff that looks more like the earlier days is these new technologies like the VR, like those theories about the Apple VR headset that we could talk about.
Oh, wow. Hang on. Was that another seamless transition?
I had to try one for myself here.
I'd say you did a very good job there until I, like you previously, ruined it by drawing attention to it.
Very well. We're keeping each other accountable. That's important.
Yeah. And we're also not letting either one of us be too slick or too exactly. good at podcasting. Yeah, we have to be equally terrible at podcasting.
Yeah, or else the dynamic gets thrown off.
Yeah, people notice that. I think we're being too impressive, so we got to bring it down a notch here.
Yeah, okay.
But Yeah. So we'll keep that in mind. When we transition next, we'll have to make sure that we're not too crazy or people are... It's like... it's like when you reach that level of celebrity where you're out of touch. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to be us. I don't want that.
No, we gotta, we're here for the people. We're here for the people. We're taking questions from listeners. Yeah. We're attempting to answer them to varying degrees of success. You know the whole drill.
Yeah, you know the drill. We already had a laugh or two along the way. We don't want to overload the quota. We don't want to be too on top of our game, because then people, there's no point in watching if it's like two professionals who are knowledgeable and funny providing useful information. Nobody wants that.
It's boring. It's not fun. No,
it sucks.
Fun.
I would never do that. So yeah, we have to, I'm sorry. I think the apology is due. We're sorry. We were too good at podcasting today.
We promise to do worse in the future.
Yes. I'm sorry for our success. We will unimprove from here on out, and I promise that your experience will be worse.
Absolutely.
And the wall panels will fall too, because this is all adding up, and it's, I think, frightening how good we are doing.
That's, yeah, you know what? I feel like the wall panels stay up, and then all of a sudden we're, like, too good at this. There might be a...
Oh, wait. Someone said, shut up, Luke. That's perfect. Yes, we did it. We got back to being bad at podcasting.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Very good.
So, to the topic of the VR headset. I want to talk to you about some features.
I want to hear about some features.
So this was in a report from The Information, and I'm going to read down this list, Noah, of features or maybe aspects of the VR headset that have come out.
Let's hear it.
And I'm going to warn you, you're going to want to hold on to your hats. So go get all of your hats. Everyone at home, make sure they're secured. Hold on to them, because this is a lot.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm holding it. Okay, two hands. I'm holding. This is my hat now.
Okay, good. A waist-mounted additional battery that can connect via a MagSafe-like power cable to the headband to extend battery life. The case design incorporates aluminum glass and carbon fiber to reduce size and weight. The cameras are concealed for aesthetic reasons, of course. A small digital crown-like dial on the right side that allows users to quickly transition between virtual and physical worlds. Oh no. Oh no. Yeah.
I'm
good.
Trying.
Hold on. We're not
I'm trying.
Done.
I'm trying.
Okay, good. We're not done yet. Different interchangeable headbands, including one for consumers made of a similar material to the Apple Watch Sport Band that includes built-in speakers and one targeted at developers, as well as additional options for aesthetic and function. Magnetically attachable custom prescription lenses for those who wear glasses.
All right, I'm sorry. My hat's
motors.
Off. My hat's off.
Your
for
hat's
that one.
Off? Well,
it's
I'm
off
not
for
done,
one.
So we're going to keep going. We're
keep
still going.
Going. Keep going.
Small motors to automatically adjust internal lenses to match the wearer's interpupillary distance.
Oh my God.
Providing the largest field of view possible for each person. 120 degree field of view, like the Valve Index and more than MetaQuest Pro. We're still not done. The H2 chip for ultra low latency connection with second generation AirPods Pro and future AirPod models. Two chips, including a main SoC, likely, as reported by Mark Gurman, something along the lines of a full fat M2, including CPU, GPU, and unified memory. And then another chip for a dedicated image signal processor. And the ISP is there to translate distorted images captured by external cameras and turn them into a true video representation of surroundings. And then finally, the ability to run existing iOS apps in 2D.
What the, that's crazy. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I've got Sam here reacting. Hat off. In fact, Sam, come here.
Let's get Sam in here.
Let's get Sam in here.
I want to see his hat. I want to see his hat come off his head. There he is. There he is.
Hey, buddy. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. He's gone feral.
What's up, guys?
He's gone feral. Get back. Get back.
Sam, oh, my God.
No. I'm scared.
Okay. Are you good? Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm not feral anymore.
Okay. All okay.
Right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Genius Bar.
Oh, man. That was scary. Ugh. Sam's here, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Apple Track. He was in the chat. And now he's here IRL. How'd you do that? No.
Because smooth as heck, brother.
Oh, no.
I just teleported to Tokyo.
That's crazy. He came here from St. Louis in 0.01 of a second.
That's the power of these rumors. Well, they brought him here.
noise complaint from a hotel coming soon.
Yeah, it's like 400.
Yeah, no. So the price, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, for the noise complaint. 40,000 yen is what.
That's is like, it that much?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Oh my God. Okay, if we get a noise complaint at this Airbnb, the fine is 40,000 yen, you said?
Yeah.
That's like $350.
Yeah. Jeez, and we have video evidence of you guys making a lot of noise.
Are you excited, buddy?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Dude, I want to buy it.
Okay, so let's all three of us here, let's put our heads together.
Okay, I'm just going to try to imagine what Noah's saying because I also can't hear.
This is also true.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That's you can read lips.
Okay.
He'll figure it out. How much do we think this gosh darn headset is going to cost with that list of features that I just ran through?
$29.99.
Two, that's no, not, no, it's more than that. People were saying 5,000. That this is for Sam.
Crab emoji?
Yeah, no, he's doing zeros.
Oh, $500?
No, 5,000.
No,
There are three of these. That's what the people are saying in the chat. I don't know.
I think Noah's right. I think 5K.
No one's reported that, bro.
Okay, what have they reported?
Between 2 and 3K.
No.
No way.
Whoa, 5 grand?
Carbon fiber?
Bro.
If it is made with... It is.
What happened to my knee? What the fuck? What is that?
Sam, you're getting distracted. Sorry. Come back to me.
No. It's gonna be 3 grand at max. They need this to have some market penetration. 5 grand, literally no one will be able to buy it.
May I submit to you this comment? $34.99, maybe not $9.99 for the battery. That's a bit much for a battery, but $34.99 with additional, like, think Apple Watch, right? A sport band, $34.99, but if you want the band with speakers in it, or the Hermes band, or the, you know, a higher end band, a lighter case maybe, additional battery packs, those would bring the price up.
Well, yeah, but I think the base is going to be $29.99. Just the headset.
At most,
the base is going to be
$29.99. They said it had motors for automatically adjusting to
pupillary distance. I know.
Do you know your pupillary distance?
It was like 57 on my little MetaQuest Pro that I had to do manually like a poor person.
Yeah, and how much does that cost?
$1,500.
So you're saying for twice...
You get motors.
It's only twice the price. Dude, for twice the price you get motors. Look, the thing is, you're also not considering the displays.
Yeah, they're 8K?
Two 8K displays with 2,500 PPI.
Bro, 3 grand.
No! You can't get like a big 8K for that.
Oh, I don't like that argument. That doesn't make sense. If these are little baby 8Ks, they wouldn't be that much. They'd probably be 500 a display, if that.
Okay, they're going to be cheaper than a big panel, but they're still... It's to make the pixel density that high, nothing like that exists. It will be the highest resolution display ever made.
So what do you think it's going to cost then, Mr. Big Pants?
$39.99.
I thought, okay, I mean, that's... I'm not saying that's impossible. Thoughts? You guys know me. I base it off of leaks and rumors. That is what my entire credibility as a YouTuber is based on. I don't
credibility.
I'm not trashed out like Luke Miani or Noah Rubin. Okay? I'm based in reality.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh.
And what I say is leaks and rumors have said 2 to 3K. And they know more than we do, so I'm going to say 3K. I am on the higher end of that range. 2K definitely is too low, and they are going to call it... So the name of it is going to be is Reality Pro.
Yeah.
So it's a pro product, so we know that means expensive. And I don't know, 3K? I mean, you have to think that's like 3 times the price of an iPhone 14 Pro.
But it...
The Apple Watch didn't start at $2,000. The Apple Watch started at, what,
$399? It's a watch! This is... from the features that we know about, this would be the single most advanced alternative reality product ever made in the history of alternative reality.
That's why I say 3K, because there's...
And that's before we even learn anything... Before we even know a single feature of its software.
Yeah.
Just knowing these limited hardware things, we know that it will have, or most likely will have, the highest resolution displays ever built.
All right, I'll make you a deal. 3 to 4K.
I think that is the more likely
scenario.
Maybe it
will be $34.99 like the dude said.
$34.99, $39.99. That is...
And then there's going to be different storage tiers, I'm sure. There'll be like 128 gig SSD, and then a 500... Bro, there's going to be like an $8,000 headset.
Oh,
bro,
yeah.
The amount of content we're going to get out of this is about to be ridiculous.
How are we going to film it? How do we demo? Imagine this. Noah, are you going to get one?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be real.
Yeah. Let us. Yeah. You can pretend that you're going to be able to withstand the pressure of wanting one, but we all of us are going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am, just because I am actually obsessed with virtual reality and augmented reality.
So, but how is this going to work? Like, how are we going to talk about it on the podcast? We're going to sit here with it on our face, just being like, wow, this is really cool, and I wish you guys could see it.
You know the feature that they're building? They're building VR Memoji FaceTime. So we'll have our headsets on and be able to be in a meeting room around a table with our Memojis.
I mean, yeah.
That's how it's going to work. That's how we're going to do this. But I'll be able to be like, Noah, come here. And then I'll be able to go give Noah
that's
a hug.
That's going
to...
Oh, my God.
Lukia hug.
Oh, no.
Oh, so cute.
I think... I mean, the more that we talk about this, the more I'm like, holy shit. This is so much capability and so advanced. And it's Apple. And they charge so much money. There's no way... I'm now doubling down, $39.99.
I'm saying 3 to 4K. You don't think there's any chance that there's a 3, bro? But here's
$29.99 would be so incredibly... I don't want to say cheap, because $3,000 is not cheap. But given what we've talked about, if it is $3,000, I will be stupefied.
But here's the thing: Apple has to make normal human. They need it like 4% of average normal people to touch this. And at 4K,
they don't need it yet,
Apple
though.
Expensive and never even think about it.
Well, no.
3K would be
But wait. There's a strategy to this. Tesla didn't start with the Model 3.
Yeah, I know.
This is the Model S of VR headsets,
yes,
right?
I know.
This is the first and the best of its kind. So this is the expensive one. This is for early adopters. Normal, regular people aren't going to be ready. Like, this is a first-gen product. Within the year or so that it is current, there will not be enough regular people, even at a normal price point, that are even going to know about it.
Here's my counter-argument.
People, look, the Apple Watch Ultra has been out for months now. People still ask me, they don't even think it's an Apple Watch. They look at that and they're like, what is that?
Here's my counter argument. Original iPhone started at like $499 with carrier subsidies. Apple Watch started at like $499 with carrier subsidies. iPad 1 started at $499. I'm just saying there is a clear trend here of when Apple enters with a product that doesn't really exist or does other things, they don't go crazy pants. Now, I'm saying this is going to be slightly crazy pants, but this is going to be more like crazy shorts.
Okay? Oh, jeez. So you don't think it's going to be $499?
What it say?
I do like that. Very good.
That's you.
He does like it.
Okay. I like that, yes. Two thumbs up. Very good.
I like the nonverbal communication that Noah's doing. Five.
I gotta do what I gotta do here. We gotta work with what we have.
I just realized that Noah's like little thing was better than my going like this. That's not good.
I don't want to be on this podcast.
You said we were like cracked out. You said both of us were cracked out.
I'll go back
so
to the tiny hole.
Yeah, maybe he shouldn't be here.
Sorry. Okay. Well, now that that's out of the way, now we can have an intelligent discussion.
Yes, of course.
So, what?
Oh, no.
He's banging on the door. Unbelievable. Don't damage it. If there's any damage, it's a $7,000 fine.
Then you can't afford the headset after that.
Exactly. That's my headset money he's spending over there.
Yeah.
But so okay. Let's recap here. We are talking about the most advanced augmented or virtual reality headset device ever created in all of human history.
Yeah.
I think $34.99 is the floor.
Yeah. See, I agree with what Sam said, and I was going to make a joke that he was, because he said everything else was $4.99. I was going to say, does Sam think that this headset's going to be $4.99 as well? I don't think so. But I think $3,000 is a little bit, because this is like a different thing. Like the phone and the watch, I don't know. I just feel like this is like a VR headset. It's like a pure, like, extra. I don't know how to put it, but it's like it's just like this, like this, like this, like extra thing that like exists, like completely. It's not like like an integrated, like, you know, like, oh, it's your phone that you carry around, or it's like, you know, the iPad, like. I don't know. It's just like this different thing. And I feel like for this one, it seems like Apple, based on that spec sheet that you just read, it seems like Apple is starting from the deep end on this one. Or they're starting from the biggest, best one, and then they're going to work their way back to the lesser ones. And I feel like maybe that Yes. makes more sense for this, because the kinds of people that are really into VR are the people, like those people are gonna be willing to spend the more money if they're really into it. You know, if you took like a smartwatch, there's already like, you know, plenty of competition. It's like a normal, you know, everyone wears a watch, whatever. This is like something different. So I think they're starting from the bigger one to get that initial group of people, get the initial apps, whatever, and then they can work their way back to the less expensive models. And maybe for the VR headset, Bingo. It makes sense. Maybe that's it. Mm-hmm.
I think you're exactly right. And to your point of like the iPhone, the Apple Watch, the iPad, and how those all started at $499, which is true. Absolutely. However, I think what you're saying is that those are the mass market products. This is more like a Mac Studio. I mean, Reality Pro is the rumored name for it, right? So that's not going to be targeted to as broad of an audience. What would be is sort of the second step of this, right? The headset is the starting point. The goal is glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Decorative designer frames that go on your eyes and project information into the world. That, I think, is where Apple's going. Our earlier conversation about like the iPad and how it's not clear what's next. In terms of the headset, I think we do have that clear path of like, it needs to be light, it needs to be wearable for hours, it needs to be immersive but realistic, no eye strain, And eventually it needs to be so minimal that you can wear it in public. And that is Apple glasses. Many years away, but it is comforting. It is nice that we do have that goal in mind.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were saying before about, like, you know, the mature product lines have come a long way. This is like a brand new, I mean, it exists. Obviously there's, like, you know, Meta has some and Valve has theirs and whatever, but it's very, very early days. It's not mass market by any means. The majority of the use cases are either gaming or like enterprise. So there's not like the standard, like everyday use case kind of thing really doesn't exist yet. And that's, I think, what Apple wants to go for, because it's, you know, this is Apple that we're talking about. So there's so much work for them to do here. And I think we discussed this, you know, some time ago on the podcast, but Apple has already laid some of the foundation for this, you know, things like spatial audio, and you could argue their whole ecosystem in general, like all the things, like maybe you can use AirPods with this headset, or maybe they have built-in speakers, or maybe it works with your other devices, whatever. Like, there have been these steps that Apple's been putting in place to do this, and maybe the VR headset is another step towards the eventuality of the AR thing.
That's an interesting... That's a very good point. Oh, no. I think I've solved it. I think okay. I figured it out. Sam!
Okay.
Come back.
Oh, okay.
I have a hypothesis. I have a way to square everything that we've talked about. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Cole.
Oh, jeez. Is he going to behave this time?
What if... You mentioned that you like to go off of the leaks and the rumors.
That's me, bro.
And that you're based in reality. And you threw a lot of, I would argue, undeserved shade at me and Noah. What if... What if we're looking at two products? We've heard this rumored 2 to 3K. Okay. We're now hearing this Reality Pro. What if these are features across two tiers? What if the event releases Apple Reality and Apple Reality Pro? So for $29.99 or $24.99, you get the more, I guess, bare bones, right? The basic headband, like the Apple Watch and the Apple Watch Titanium.
I hear you, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think the market's big enough for segmentation at this rate.
I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But I do see what you're saying. I mean, but it's like, not a crazy idea.
Like, if some of these features, right, the motors for interpupillary distance, the carbon fiber, the 8K displays, the band with speakers targeted towards developers, the Pro name.
True.
You could have most of the experience. You know, you still have the chip, you still have the cameras, you still have the software. But those extra features would be on the Pro model for $39.99.
It's possible.
And the more stripped down one could be $19.99. $29.99.
I think you're talking about the one that's going to come in 2 years, which is exactly what they're going to do. I just don't think it's coming this year.
So you think that they're...
This year, Reality Pro.
Only Pro.
$29 to $39.99. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my theory.
I'm inclined to agree, but I wouldn't be surprised if Apple does want to get a broader market and they cover both options. Think Apple Watch and Apple Watch Stainless or Edition.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. It's possible. I mean, hey, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I still think personally it would be the other one.
Fair enough. All right, now get out of here, you rascal. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Cole, thank you very much. A little round of applause there.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think the market will probably eventually end up what you're saying. whether that happens when they announce Reality Pro, if they announce the entry level at the same time, or it happens later, I think that it'll eventually end up what you're talking about. I also wonder, and I'm not sure if they'll launch at the same time. I could see that happening. I could see also, maybe they don't call it two separate products, but like we said, there's, you know, different upgrades you can do. So you can almost get like a more pro version, like if they make, you know, certain things optional, more expensive upgrades. So it would almost be like that, maybe just not two different names. Maybe it would be. But I also wonder if the eventual goal is AR, is the VR like a stepping... Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Is, if the eventual goal is AR, is the VR like a stepping stone, or is it more of like a permanent... Because to me, it seems kind of weird for Apple to go into VR, and there is a good amount of overlap between AR and VR, but there's a lot of things that don't overlap. So is it going to be that the future AR headsets can double as VR, like the lenses black out and you can do VR stuff in it? Or are AR and VR going to be two separate products? Or like, how's that going to work? That's the thing that I'm really curious about.
I think VR is transitory. I would imagine. Okay, so obviously the goal is that you don't need to recreate your surroundings. So from what we've heard here, there are screens and cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple does not have the tech to have essentially a pass-through screen where you're looking at the real physical world and seeing projections. What they're doing is closing you off and recreating what you're looking at with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a calculated move. It's AR being emulated. And I think that is where they're going. I don't think they're going to position this as being VR only. And I think eventually what happens is, because, like, you know what I mean? Like, in a lot of VR headsets, you're there to shut out the world and be in your thing. I would imagine, given that that is primarily used for games, I think Apple doesn't care about games. And as unfortunate as it may be, I don't think they're going to want people to use this plugged into their PC to play Destiny 2. I think they're going to be... The gaming VR is already a thing. This is a VR headset that emulates augmented reality. So rather than being two separate products, they're using VR to get to AR. That's what I think.
That is really interesting because... So here's... I have two initial thoughts on that. The first is, I definitely feel like AR, first of all, AR is definitely more useful than VR, in my opinion. And it's much more aligned with, like, Apple's goals. Like, Apple making... And absolutely. I think that what you said makes a lot of sense. Because, like, Apple making a VR headset doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, I'm trying to think. You could enjoy your favorite Apple TV Plus originals in a virtual theater. You could play your favorite Apple Arcade games in... I don't know. I mean, they're like iPhone games. So, like, theoretically, if they were like VR Apple Arcade games, you can play your Apple Arcade games. You can watch Apple TV Plus. I don't know. Like, what else would you do beyond that? I think that it does make sense what you're saying about, like, using VR to emulate AR. But I also think that that's extremely hard because if you have two screens and you're streaming outside video to... to screens and you're showing it to people, that can very easily become extremely disorientating. Like if it lags for even a second and you're moving around, if it's not like literally like zero lag, it will you'll be so disoriented. It'll like be really hard to function with it on. Like whatever. And I guess if it's really this thing with like screens in front of your eyes, and I guess they're going to look best case scenario, they're going to look like sunglasses. Like, I don't know if this is something that you would wear around with you all the time, but I could definitely see them doing some AR things in addition to some VR things, and maybe eventually they focus more on the AR things. I just don't know how it's going to fit together. I don't know.
I think in this particular product, it's going to be imitation AR 100%, and then very select VR modes. I think in certain games, of course, all pass through Apple's like filters of like, does this fit? Does this make sense with what we want? And to your point, the Apple TV content, SharePlay, I could see it definitely having that feature built into it where you can sort of darken the world and go into a virtual theater. 100%. But beyond that use case, I think the number one goal of this headset is to take reality and pipe it into your face. This is sort of Apple's way with current technology of working around the limitation of transparent screens. Because think of it this way. Think of Ian's render, right? That's, everyone knows, I'll pull it up here.
It's the ski goggles.
Everyone knows the ski goggles render that has been around for however long it's been since Ian made this, like, yes, over a year and a half ago, right? So this, I think, is probably fairly accurate, right? You've got that foam, that AirPods Max foam, the AirPods Max aluminum, and like the sport band around it. Now, this is also another reason why I think there could be two tiers, because this to me looks like the Apple Watch Sport with a higher end version having different materials and features. So that's why I thought that. But
okay,
setting
okay
that aside, that front lens, all of this stuff fits in with the render, right? Bands that you can switch out. You can clearly see how that band could be removable.
Yeah.
They talked about a lot of cameras and them being disguised. Well, look at the visor here. It's black. You can hide 15 LiDAR sensors and 10 cameras in that, and it looks seamless. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. And so that visor is basically there to install all of the sensors that you would need to take the world around you and then put that on screens in your eyes. In 3 to 5 years, we'll get to a point where this can be screen goggles, ski goggles, right? That will be an actual screen that you can see through with LiDAR sensors on the border, and the screen is placing things physically in your world. I think that's the next step after a few iterations of this VR emulation concept.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. The thing, first of all, I'll be very impressed to see what Apple can do in terms of like the latency and the experience of, like, you know, if you're moving around with this thing on, you know, is it going to feel natural? Is it going to feel transparent, or is it going to be very clear that you're, you know, you got this thing strapped to your face? But the other thing is, like, if that's what the thing looks like, first of all, it looks sick. It looks very cool. It looks like Terminator almost. I don't know. But like, can you wear that thing if you're doing like AR stuff, you know, integrated into your life? Are you going to wear that in public, or if you're going for a walk, or, you know, things like that? So you're not, but then like, so then where does the AR fit in? Like where do you use the AR?
So here's what I think. Given the current state of AR, this is a prediction. If someone wants to clip this, I would be very interested. I think that the intention of this will not be public use. This is home office, an office. And I also think there's a very good chance that, like setting up Face ID, you will have a sort of room setup. because given that Apple already has these like occlusion things, right, in the AR demos, they're a little janky. They're not super like impressive yet. So when it comes to placing objects in a room, having external screens, I think those things are doable on a very like basic level, but I wouldn't be surprised if you do a sort of like room scan feature where you like, this is a room that you're going to use a lot. It obviously will be have location abilities like an AirTag, and you can sort of go around, like literally look around your room, move around, and build in this machine. It will be able to build a model of your room so that in the locations that you're going to be using it, not everywhere running and gunning, but in the locations that it will be used, you'll be able to build a more accurate 3D representation. That's what I would think. I don't think this is going to be worn in public. Like, you're not going to be on the bus using this.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, even Google Glass was already like, you know, there was already a negative reaction to that, and that was a lot more subtle than this thing. So I definitely agree with you. I think it definitely makes sense, you know, when you talk about like having, you know, actual like you know, it's emulating AR. When you talk about emulating AR versus actual AR, it makes sense for it to be more like an at home in you know, in a specific space, like a known space, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think, so I absolutely agree with you. My like question, or like not question, but like the thought that I have is, if that's what we have now, and then you know, the eventual goal is to have the glasses and have it be integrated into your life, it just seems, I guess this is a logical stepping stone, because there's a lot of things that will happen with this headset that will pave the way to that. I guess it's just that in a couple of years, it's going to look very different. Like, the ways that you use the headset and the things that you can use it for will look very different with the Apple glasses versus the AR headset. So I guess it makes sense. This is just like the next step. It gets a lot of the stuff about having something on your face. There's a lot of challenges there that they can figure out. And then in a couple of years, mm-hmm. you know, there's more applications and you use it differently. Maybe you don't build a model of the room, but you don't need to anymore, because, you know, you're wearing it everywhere. So I guess maybe it's not a question. It just makes sense, exactly. But it's just slow, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction, and this is the next step. It makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it's not going to be quick. I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, I'm not getting the VR headset. I want to wait for glasses. Well, there's a lot that actually is different with that. I mean, number one, for a set of glasses, you'd need a fundamentally different way of managing the data that's coming in. With this headset, you have cameras getting video feed and an image signal processor that's stitching and cleaning that. You then have an SoC that's calculating perspective, because obviously you're going to need to have the actual perspective of the human eye for it to look real. So it needs to do that. And it's going to use LiDAR for calculating distance. With lenses, with actual glasses, you're not doing that same workflow, because you don't need cameras. You're not recreating the world. You're just seeing it with your own two eyes. So in a way, that removes complexity. A lot of what this headset is doing, a lot of the bulk and the technology of this headset, is simply just taking the world that's already there and then repiping it into your eyes. Most of what this headset is doing is that, and then adding stuff on top of it. The glasses are different, because then what you're doing is relying on the human eye for capturing the world, relying on the glasses for precisely measuring and projecting onto it. It's a different workflow, and it's a technology that we don't have yet, because we don't have those completely translucent screens that would allow your eyes to just look through it. So We're at iPhone launch day, Noah. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's definitely early days. Things will definitely look, and I feel like this market, even more than the iPhone, has like so much potential to grow. Or like, you know, we look at like what Absolutely. We're talking about for the end result, and it seems like so much further away than like you take the iPhone 2G, and maybe that's hindsight. Maybe it's hindsight, maybe whatever. Maybe it's that the phone is a simpler problem than this headset. But like you look at the iPhone, mm-hmm. the original iPhone, and all the things that, like, you know, we said this before, all the things that it needed, and then how it got those things over the years. If you look at where we're starting yep. now, hopefully we'll be starting here in March, and we'll see what happens, March or April. But like to the place that we want to end up is like seems very far away, and there's a lot of work to be done. But it is definitely very exciting to be here at the beginning and to see all of this, you know, happen over the next decade or however long it's going to be.
Absolutely. I think it's exciting. It's exciting to be on the cusp of something like that. To your point of the iPhone, when it came out, we had these things that we all wanted it to do. Noah talked about it earlier. You know, the iPhone came out and people were like, oh, well, I'd like there to be video. I'd like there to be a camera on the front, higher resolution, faster battery life, bigger display. We now have that progression mm-hmm. with this AR headset. We've spent the last 20 minutes hashing it out. What should it do? How does it do it? What's next? And it really does feel like we're back in January of 2007. On the precipice of starting this new era of possibility. And I, for one, cannot wait. So next week, I think we dive into the event. We've talked about the product. We've talked about some of these forward-looking features. But if recent rumors, and rumors that I think should start to happen over the next week or so, are to be believed, we don't have to wait that long. So make sure you guys come back next week. I won't be in Japan with terrible internet. I will have my normal terrible internet. And we're going to break this down. We're going to talk about the March event that I think is going to blow our minds.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. You know what I'm not looking forward to?
What are you not looking forward to?
Having to end this episode of Dark Mode, because it's been so much fun with you guys here today.
It has been. It has been a fun time, especially with Sam. You know, aside from some of the things that he said, it was a lot of fun to have him stop by.
Aside from the bullying.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go speak with my therapist and we'll try to put that incident behind us.
That's good.
But we'll also, unfortunately, have to put this episode behind us. So thank you guys so much for watching. I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next week, and have a great night.